Okay, this is the hour. We're going to take your phone calls with Catherine Albrecht as we talk about the sign of the beast, privacy issues, chips. Would you get chipped? Check in with us as well. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're back with Catherine Albrecht. She's written a couple books, too, by the way. Spy Chips, I Won't Take the Mark, The Spy Chips Threat as Well. What's new in the field of RFID, Catherine? What's happening there?
Well, you know, they've taken what was this really disturbing secret plan 10 years ago that we wrote about in Spy Chips to really put kind of embed or hide RFID tags in all the things that we buy. And they've now taken a completely different approach, which is actually kind of disturbing. Back then, the idea was to embed these things in your clothing tags, in your shoes, in things that you would wear and carry, and you'd never even know the difference. And then they were planning on spying on us through this stuff. Well, we exposed it. We got it stopped in large part due to the help of Coast to Coast listeners. We were able to go out and protest and tell these companies, hey, don't do it. We're on to your tricks. Well, what they've now done is even perhaps more disturbing. They've taken the insights of psychology, and they've found a way to get people to purchase these things on purpose, to actually convince people that they want the tracking devices in their lives, which is, I think, even more worrisome. And I'll give you one example. Google just spent $3 billion to purchase a company called Dropcam. And Dropcam makes something that is so unbelievable, if it didn't exist, I wouldn't believe it. Dropcam makes a camera and a microphone that people are installing into their very bedrooms and aiming at their beds, putting in their living rooms and aiming at their dining tables. It records everything that is said and done, that and everything that it sees 24 hours a day, and sends all of that footage up to the Google Cloud. Now, what could possibly go wrong with that plan? And yet people are paying hundreds of dollars for the privilege of installing these tracking devices that they should be out with pitchforks saying, you won't come past my front door. No way you're getting in my house with that stuff. And yet people are paying for it. So really the switch, I think, with RFID is they've gussied it up. They've stuck some lipstick on the pig. They're calling it the, quote, Internet of Things. And they're putting the smart meters on our homes to go with the smart appliances so that eventually they can get in our homes and begin tracking what we do in our houses. And we talked about, when I was talking about StartMail, about how Gmail, the point of Gmail was to give them an environment so they could watch and observe you, so they could get inside your inner circle of your email. Well, now they want to get inside the inner circle of your house. And it's really got to be, we have to say no. You know, here you will not pass.
They'll be watching us on our televisions.
That is the most disturbing thing.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even know how long this has been going on, George, but there's an article on Salon.com called I'm Terrified of My New TV. And a salon writer went out and bought a new big screen smart TV. I'll tell you, when you see the word smart, run screaming. Start is good. Start page, start mail, that's good. Smart is bad. When you see smart, it means surveillance. And these smart TVs, you won't even believe this, they've got microphones and cameras for facial recognition built into your very living room. And there's a line on page, there's a 46-page privacy policy that this guy actually took the time to sit down and read. And when he got towards the end of it, it said, just in passing, it said, make sure that you don't say anything sensitive or personal in front of the television, because that's among the information that will be collected and shared with third parties. So they literally were saying, we're going to watch you and listen to your conversations and share them with third parties. You're good with that, right? And
just amazing.
Who's going to read the 46-page policy?
Nobody.
So all you shoppers out there, when you're going out this Christmas and you're buying these electronics and the big screen TVs, don't buy a smart TV because it is spying on you. And there's nothing you can do. You can't turn it off. Your only option is return it. That's it. It's either accept it or return it. That's it. Or tiptoe around your own living room like your Winston in 1984 hiding from your own TV.
Well, have you heard of these baby watch or alarm systems that parents put in the crib or near the crib to hear if the little kid cries, and you know, then they can hear it on a speaker and they come running down? People are actually hacking into them now, Catherine.
I know it. Yeah, Liz McIntyre, my Spy Chips co-author, and I, we do a column for eHow on security and technology at eHow.com, and we actually talked about a case that happened in Texas where so this couple is sleeping. They've got their baby in the other room, and the wife hears these men. She hears a man's voice coming from the baby's room.
Oh.
And she wakes up her husband and goes, honey, I don't know what's happening, but go in there. So the husband, you know, practically with a baseball bat in his hand, he walks into the baby's room, and there's nobody there. And then the camera swivels around at him. These cameras have microphones, and the camera begins swearing at this guy. It's almost like it's possessed. It's like something from The Omen. But the reality is that there are online websites where people will log in, and the new parents are like the worst people to purchase these things because they're not reading the manuals. When you plug in that camera to watch your baby, the baby monitor IP camera is what it's called, it comes with a factory setting password. You have to change that. And if you don't, there are entire websites with thousands, tens of thousands of links where literally you could go onto one of these websites and you could say, I want to see, oh, I don't know, Brazil or Florida or Orlando. I want to watch the cameras there. And you can literally click the link and you're looking in somebody's living room. You're looking in somebody's baby's bedroom.
Oh,
it's so creepy.
It really is.
People need to realize don't bring cameras and microphones into your home. It's plain and simple. Don't do it.
Let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to Rhonda in Iron Mountain, Michigan, east of the Rockies. Hello, Rhonda. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to make a couple comments. I had heard, I don't know where, but I heard that in Obama's national health care plan that there's a provision for getting that RFID chip. And I don't know if either of you have heard about that or if there's truth to that. But also, you mentioned that Christianity was still predominantly the predominant faith.
Religion, sure.
But you know, Thursday after the midterm elections, I heard President Obama say that Christianity was no longer the predominant faith in this country, and he's a Muslim. So, but anyway, I just wanted to know about that. If there's any truth to that RFID chip being.
Well, Rhonda, thank you. So let me address that. I've got a blog on my website at katherinealbrecht.com where I dispelled this myth. Actually, the whole thing about RFID microchips in the Obamacare legislation is a myth, fortunately, and we don't need to be worried about it. The reason it got in there was an earlier version of the bill that didn't pass that had a provision for creating a registry of implantable medical devices. Now, what they mean by that, it was actually a certain class of medical devices that are like pacemakers and heart stents, things like that. And what they wanted to do is right now, those things go out onto the market and they don't get reviewed. So they could be causing deaths or harm to people, and there's no way to follow up on that. So that form of the bill, that version of the bill, did not pass. We did not get a registry created of those FDA devices. And there's really nothing to worry about on that front. And that's I've done all the research. I've looked through the 500-page bill multiple times. It's just not in there. And what was your other question?
And the other one was Christianity is waning in maybe in this country. Maybe it's not the majority in this country. Huh?
It's actually not. And I don't know what Obama is talking about, but 83% of Americans, when they're polled, consistently say that they are Christian. You have 88% of Americans owning a Bible in their household, and on average they own four Bibles. The total proportion of Bible readers who read the Bible multiple times a year is 50% of adults in this country, and Christianity is not only the predominant religion in the U.S., but it's the predominant religion in the world. It's the number one most populous religion at 2.2 billion people. So I'm not sure what Obama's trying to prove or what he's trying to convince people of. I'm a big believer that you should have the right to practice the religion of your choice. I definitely don't want to discriminate against other groups, but I also don't appreciate this sort of implication that there really aren't any Christians anymore. There's a whole lot of Christians out there, and it is the predominant faith in this country.
Remember the hotels of the old days? They'd all have Bibles in there.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're doing
Bible.
That anymore. I haven't seen many Bibles in the hotel rooms I've been in.
I travel a lot, George, and I'd say about half the rooms that I'm in still have a Bible. And it's really that vocal, sort of angsty, gritty minority that says, I need to take the Bible out of the drawer. The Bible's not going to leap out of the drawer and bite you.
No, and they used to be free. Couldn't you take that with you if you wanted to?
The Gideon's International are a wonderful resource that have been distributing Bibles to prisons and to hotels and to schools and to places all over the world, hospitals. They've been doing this for literally decades, and they will just replace it. If you take it, they'll just put another one there. So I think it's a good thing. And sometimes when you're in a hotel, George, I'll tell you, when you're far from home and you're traveling and things are rough, it is kind of nice to have the solace of just pulling the Bible out and flipping through a couple Psalms.
Indeed. Let's go to Greg in Chicago. Welcome to the program, Greg. You're on with Catherine Albrecht.
Hey, George. Hey, Catherine.
Hi.
I wanted to apologize to Catherine. I've been a Coast listener for about 15 years now, and I am an evangelical Christian, and I remember hearing Catherine about 10 years ago on this program talking about, I think she, at the time she was talking about those supermarket loyalty cards, and I used to think, you know, I agree with this lady in principle, you know, that we are headed for the mark of the beast, but she's a little out there. She's a little, maybe a little paranoid about all this stuff. And I just wanted to tell you, Catherine, that now, today, I don't think that way anymore. I mean, technology is moving so fast that we are definitely, like, racing towards some kind of a dystopian future that I think only the King of Kings is going to be able to fix. So preach on, sister.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Greg. And I know a lot of people have a hard time believing these things. This is why in our book, Spy Chips, we have hundreds, literally hundreds of footnotes proving that all the things we talk about, the plans, the nasty plans for tracking people and putting devices in their bathroom to know every time they take the lid off the toothpaste or take an aspirin, that somebody somewhere in some health facility or government facility would be watching. That sounds really far-fetched until you look and see that in Spy Chips, we have all of those footnotes, and you can go right to the source, and you can see that it's major companies like IBM and Philips Electronics and Procter & Gamble. It's major companies with big bucks that are planning all of this. And I think right now the biggest threat we face is Google. I'll be honest. It is. They are looking. One of the Google executives says he looks forward to the time when we have microphones in the ceilings of all the homes in America. Why would we want a Google microphone in the ceiling of our homes, and yet people are dumb enough to be installing these drop cams and doing it even today?
You know what? And it'll probably happen.
Well, yeah, not your listeners. Your listeners.
No, not our listeners, and not you. Not as long as you're our champion here.
Yes. Let's I'll go be warning you. Oh,
Kevin,
be honest.
Kevin in Center City, Philadelphia, wildcard line. Hi, Kev. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How are you?
All is well. Thanks.
Hey, Catherine. How are you? Number one, the Bible does talk about the mark of the beast, but it also talks about the image of the beast that the image of the beast should cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, and the image should both speak and cause that the image would be killed. Now, could the image of the beast be the smartphone or iPhone?
I think it's going to go even further. They talk about the image of the beast being able to speak, kind of getting a form of life. And if you look at what the transhumanists are up to now, the singularity.
Oh, I know all about that.
I'm talking about weird, creepy androids. Check out 2045.com. It's this Russian billionaire.
Yeah, I know. I know. They want to get rid of death by 2045. My number two question. I actually heard that Google could be the Antichrist. And George, where is Maitreya? He's been very quiet lately.
Yes, he has. We haven't heard much from him or Benjamin Krem, who apparently is his representative. Catherine, you want to chime in here?
Yeah, no, the whole thing about the transhumanist, the whole concept that people will cheat death, that people will be uploading their souls into these things, I think ties directly in with the mark of the beast. And, you know, the Bible makes it very clear. The people who take the mark will receive two punishments. Number one, a noisome and grievous sore. And noisome means stinky or festering. And we know that microchip implants cause cancer in between 1 and 10% of laboratory animals. In fact, they've been causing cancer in dogs and cats into which they've been implanted, which I've talked about on the show before. You can find all that evidence at chipmenot.com, where we've put it all up there, the stories of the dogs, the cats, the llamas, the bats, all these animals getting cancer. And then we also know that the second punishment that the Bible talks about for people who take the mark of the beast is to be essentially the wrath of God's, the the wine of God's wrath will be poured out into the cup of his indignation, and they will have no rest day or night who worship the beast or take his mark. That's a pretty heavy spiritual punishment. So the idea that somehow you could take a mark, you could do something that would make you irredeemable, where you would have, you wouldn't be able to be used by God or to come back to God. And when I look at what these transhumanists are talking about, literally removing the soul, the consciousness from a human body and putting it into an android or a hologram or the Matrix, and promising kind of a twisted form of immortality, that's openly satanic. And I don't know, what if taking the mark means literally removing your soul from your body? Then you could potentially be in eternal agony. It's a frightening thought.
Let's go next to Ellie in San Diego. Welcome to the show. Ellie, you're up with us on Coast to Coast.
Hi, George. Hi, Catherine. I wanted to call in because I've been involved with the selling and the actual marketing of this kind of technology. And it even goes beyond what you're talking about, Catherine. For example, we know when we send emails out to you. We know every time it's opened, how long it's opened, if you forward it to anyone, what you said, how many times they open it. There are logarithms where we can tell if you're the real person who's writing the information. It's basically a DNA of how you write, how you speak. If you go to any public event, there are cameras there that are doing constant facial recognition. This is also built into most police officers' flashlights, their cameras. The level of the ability to track a human being is beyond what a lot of people think, and this has been going on for some time. You can't disguise yourself. You can't wear a pair of sunglasses. You can't put on a fake beard. And what it all comes down to, because I know you're wondering aloud what it is money and control.
Well, and if I could just bring in the spiritual component to this. So in order for the beast to take control of the planet, there has to be a couple of pieces. One is the actual mark itself, the buying and selling with a number, which I believe is tied in with tracking people. But then you ask, why the incredible insistence on all this surveillance? Why cameras in the sky? Why are they watching and listening? Why are they putting this stuff in TVs? Why is this happening? And I believe the answer is because if you're going to enforce something like the mark of the beast and you're going to actually punish the people who refuse to bow the knee and worship, then you need to have an enforcement mechanism that makes sure that there's no place people can run. There's no place they can hide. They can't go in the woods. They can't go in, they can't go in their homes and get away. They're going to be continually under the thumb, the oppressive thumb of Big Brother and ultimately of Satan. And so I think that is why the eyes and ears of the beast are being built right now. In fact, this isn't just me talking about this. The Singularity people, IBM, these big companies actually talk about the planetary skin or the global brain, Google itself being the global brain, that there's this body being built. And, we base this on the Internet. And if you think about it, what is a net? A net is where you trap things. What is, we call it the web. And where there's
right.
a web, there's
the
a spider.
Spider web.
That's yeah, right. So we're building the body, the eyes and the ears, the nervous system to have total awareness across the globe that's going to ultimately be embodied by darkness itself, by Satan himself. And we're the ones building it for him.
Catherine, well said. We're going to come back with you in just a moment. We're going to take some more final phone calls with Catherine Albrecht as we talk about the sign of the beast, the mark of the beast, and privacy. We'll be back. Douglas Dietrich is our guest on Beyond Belief, talking about Pearl Harbor this week. It's riveting. Go ahead and watch it. You can watch it for free. Go to this website, www.beyondbelief.com. When we come back, we'll take some final calls with Catherine Albrecht right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to more phone calls with Catherine Albrecht. Catherine, want to get some of your websites out for us, please? Catherine.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, so the new book can be found at, I'm going to give you an easier URL that I think people will remember, and that's Revelation Kids. RevelationKids.com, where you can find the brand new book. That's 855-MARK-BOOK, 855-627-5266. The brand new Start Mail, which, of course, we're running that great Christmas special, which when you buy one Start Mail account, you'll get two for your friends, so we can start the privacy revolution at startmail.com. And then my own website, because I do a daily radio program, is KatherineAlbrecht.com. Nobody can spell that, though, so I've made it easy. It's KMAshow.com. So I'm going to refer people to I Won't Take the Mark, and I want to especially encourage grandparents, parents out there, if you're looking for a Christmas present, you can buy an electronic toy that will be broken and thrown away. You can buy some clothes that they'll grow out of. This is an heirloom that they'll keep on their wall, and you won't just be buying a Christmas gift. You'll actually be buying an inoculation for your kids for the day when we're not there. My grandmother passed away the year after she told me about the Mark of the Beast. Had she not taken the time to do that, I don't know that anybody else ever would have. My mom didn't take me aside and tell me about it, although she certainly knows about it. My pastors certainly didn't warn me. And if my grandmother hadn't taken the time to sit me down and literally like 10 minutes, George, it changed my life, absolutely changed my life. So this is a responsibility that I think we have. Just like we have to warn kids about sexual predators, we have to warn them about the dangers of drugs, we need to warn them about this very real and pending spiritual danger that the whole world is going to be deceived by. And we've got to protect our kids. It's critical.
Sure is. Buffalo, New York, we go. Roy's turn on Coast to Coast. Roy, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, George. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I am a first-time caller. A fascinating program, as they usually are.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Catherine.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
Catherine, I have to take issue with you somewhat. First of all, I am a student of the Bible. I've read it. I have at least six different editions, from King James to Revised Standard, et cetera. And I'd just like to point out to you that I think there is somewhat of a danger in emphasizing just one aspect of the Bible. This hubbub over the Mark of the Beast is nothing new. They've been doing this since at least 325 A.D. when the Bible was put together by a bunch of politicians at the Council of Nicaea. I can recall when Ronald Wilson Reagan was president, his name has six letters each. There were many evangelicals warning people about the soon coming of Christ. They interpreted that somehow as being connected with the Mark of the Beast. Before that, Social Security. Many people refused to take a Social Security number because they figured that was somehow connected with the Mark of the Beast. They've even done silly things like look at this Procter & Gamble symbol, and they would see 666 in the curlicue of the guy's beard. You know, my point is, this can do more harm than good because of the paranoia, and you're just missing the point of the whole Bible, which is God's love to His creation.
Well, let me see if I can address that, because I want to read what it says in the back cover of my book. And if you go to revelationkids.com, you can actually click up the book and you can look at the back cover and see that I say this. Revelation is a key book in the New Testament. By the way, it's the number three most popular book in the Bible, interestingly enough. How do you teach your children about God's vision? How can future generations prepare for that time? Do your children know how much God loves them? And here's what I write. The book of Revelation can be mysterious and confusing, but it doesn't have to be. It's the story of God's love and provision for His people when the Bible's promises are fulfilled and this fallen world is restored to perfect wholeness. This beautifully illustrated and scripturally accurate book gently conveys the warnings of Revelation while joyously celebrating the ultimate triumph of good over evil, guiding children to a closer relationship with Jesus, whether at home, in church, or as part of a Bible study. So we haven't gotten into this because it would take hours, and you could just look at the book, but the whole point of the book is the triumph of good over evil. It's the return of Christ. It's the victory. It's the beauty of us living in union with God, when He will wipe away all tears from our eyes and the former things will pass away and there'll be no more death or sorrow. It's a beautiful story. It's a wonderful culmination of this experiment here on earth in which we've really screwed up. It's a a beautiful completion. So yes, there is a mark component. That's the part I was given to talk about and work on, was to warn people about the technologies that will lead to the mark. But that's not to say that this book is focused on that. This book simply says, hey, listen, it's coming, you need to say no. And then there's this beautiful reward that God promises to his people. And when you talk about social security numbers, barcodes, other technologies that have gone on in the past, I would have opposed all of those technologies, because every one of them brought us that much closer. You know, if you're on a train, I've given this analogy on the show before, if you're on a train and you don't want to wind up in New York and you're in LA, and every single stop that the train goes is directly in a trajectory heading for New York, at some point you get off the train. And even though you're not actually in New York by that point, you say, wait, if things keep going in this direction, that's where I'm going to wind up. And so I think people were right to say the Social Security number, maybe not such a good idea. I think they were right to say putting numbers on people is not so great. And I think that parents would be right to say no RFID chips on my kid's right hand at Disneyland. I think it all ties in. So check out the book. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised that it's not a scary book. It's a positive book. It's a beautiful book. I Won't Take the Mark is 15 years of my effort. I love kids. I'm a former educator. My doctorate is in human development and psychology, and it's at the Harvard School of Education graduate school. So I'm an educator. And it's not my goal to frighten kids. It's my goal to simply pass on cultural knowledge, which is critical at this time that people have. And I think we need to start the conversation about this. These things, there was an article in Wired magazine where they were actually promoting a mark, literally a mark. It looked kind of like a pentagram or a snowflake that people would put on their right hand. And they didn't even mention the Christian potential opposition. The conversation has got to be started. Somebody has to have it.
Are you afraid of Revelation, Catherine, or do you find it to be, you know, a story with a great ending?
I'll tell you this, George. There's no question that the world is going in the wrong direction. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, literally. And if it were doing that randomly in just any old way, I would be frightened. But the fact that it's doing that, as you pointed out earlier, exactly the way we were told in the book of Revelation that it would unfold, gives me tremendous solace. It gives me tremendous encouragement and optimism to know that God's in charge. He knew 2,000 years ago what would happen, and if the bad parts of Revelation are coming true, unfortunately because of our sin, the good parts are also going to come true. So in the end, we win. In the end, humanity overcomes. In the end, it's a glorious restoration. It's a wholeness. So I've said this many times on the show. Our job is not to sit around going, woe is me, or let's worry everybody. Our job is to help other people get in the lifeboat of the Titanic is sinking. We've got to get in the lifeboat, and that's the saving blood of Jesus Christ. And we Christians, who comprise the majority of people in this country, have got to stand up for our beliefs and rise and shine, because look at the alternative. The alternative is such blatant darkness out there. Sure. So it's not judgment, it's light, it's love, it's goodness.
Let's go to Rick, first-time caller in Port Angeles, Washington. Thanks for holding, Rick. Go ahead.
Yeah, George, thank you, and Catherine, thank you very much for being here. I'm a student of religion and mythology, and I did a study on Revelations. And my understanding that when it was written, it basically was written for the time period it was in, around 68 B.C., Nero was out there destroying the Christians, burning them. Anybody mentioned that they were Christians, the neighbors found out about it, they were exorcised, put away. And when John wrote these things, which John was, I'm not too sure, because it was two Johns at the time that they have dates about. But Nero was looked upon as the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And he was looked upon as the beast. Rome was looked upon as the beast. And Nero's number in the Hebrew lettering comes out to be 666.
Well, let me address that, if I may. the many things in the Bible, the prophetic things in the Bible, have sort of an early foreshadowing and then a final culmination that hasn't happened yet. And when people talk about this, yes, there are some parallels, but there never has been a time, Rick, in which all people on the earth, as it says in Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18, in which all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, will be caused to have a mark on their right hand or their forehead with a number in it to buy and sell. That's never happened. Back in those days, we didn't know the entire population of planet Earth. We didn't have Google satellites in the sky that could map out every square meter of the Amazon jungle. We've now identified all the people of the Earth for the first time in human history. So there never has been a time. There's been a time when people had to have numbers and other things happened, but there's never been a time when a universal number was imposed upon humanity and required to buy and sell, and people who refused to take it were beheaded for the testimony of Christ. That simply has not happened yet. And that's because it's coming. It's a future prophecy.
There's no question that the correlations between Revelation and events that are happening today, Catherine, are uncanny.
Totally. Even the recreation of Israel, the fact that Israel in the 1940s came back together again as a nation after thousands of years, centuries and centuries in which they wandered the earth, they kept their identity, they came back together and recreated the nation of Israel. This is something that people didn't think would ever happen, and yet here it is. And then you've got this idea of a one-world government. We're building it right now. You've got this idea of a beast that would be given life or something like life and would be able to speak. We're building these androids. Just go on YouTube. It's horrifying what's being built out there. We were told that there would be a number to buy and sell. When I was a kid, literally just a couple decades ago, you couldn't buy and sell with a number. There was no way to do it. Now, you can ask any six-year-old, how do you buy and sell with a number? And they'll say, well, what do you mean? A credit card? PayPal? My phone? Which form of number do you want? So it's all coming together exactly the way it was written 2,000 years ago. And in the same way, I know that Answers in Genesis, they often look back to Genesis and say, that's really the, you know, if you understand Genesis, you'll get the whole Bible. Well, I would say it's kind of like bookends. If you understand Revelation, you can actually see the truth of the Bible around you, that we're living in it, that we're, you know, like they used to say the old ad, we're soaking in it. We're in the midst of this massive spiritual battle. And if there's anything that people could pray for who are listening right now, pray for discernment. Discernment is the ability to actually see these spiritual truths, to actually see the battle that's raging, and to make intelligent, wise choices, like don't bring Dropcam into your house and don't take your kids to Disney and put a magic wristband on their wrist to condition them that that's cool. You know, discernment, a little common sense. And then, again, I'm just going to repeat, we parents and grandparents' generation have got to warn the children because they don't know these things. If you did a poll, and I'm gonna do one, it's part of my training from Harvard. I want to interview people who are 40 and up, and then I want to interview people up to age 40. And you are going to see a tremendous disparity of what they know about the mark of the beast, what they know about Revelation, what they know about the promises of the Bible.
No question about that. But you know, back to Disney, what's wrong with flashing your wrist and having everything paid for?
So it's a conditioning. It's the same. Is it the mark of the beast? No. If you put an RFID wristband, a magic band on your kids, are you dooming them to hell? No. But here's the problem. It's the same thing as the Social Security number, which our grandparents' generation and great-grandparents' generation protested. It's the same thing as all of these other concerns that people have about implanting microchips in the hand. It's conditioning. You're training kids to accept this concept that it's appropriate and proper to buy and sell with a number in your right hand. And once you accept the wristband, then how much further do you need to go before you've got something in or on the hand itself? If you look at the book, because I've got this flip book where people can just look inside, I've got a letter to parents and grandparents at Revelation Kids or Virtue Press, I won't take the mark.com. When you go there, if you flip to the back, you'll actually see a letter that I wrote for parents and grandparents. And I actually caution parents to tell their kids, hey, listen, we don't do face painting. Not because face painting is evil or it's going to doom you, but you need to teach your kids and train them how to learn to say, no, you don't put anything on my forehead. You want to face paint my cheeks, my chin, that's fine. My forehead, you don't touch. And it's really a training for how to stand up for yourself, for how to say no. And the same thing with these wristbands or payment schemes where people are giving palm prints or fingerprints for lunch. People need to say no to that. They need to oppose payment with the hand, not because what we're doing now is the mark of the beast, but because by accepting those things, we move that much closer to accepting the ultimate and degradation of humanity, and that is the mark in the right hand or the forehead to buy and sell. So it's all there. I've got, if you click on the homepage at revelationkids.com or virtuepress.com or iwon'ttakethemark.com, they'll all lead you to the same place. You can click up the book, and you can actually make it really big, and you can flip through to the end, and you'll see my letter for parents and grandparents. You don't even need to buy the book. You can literally read the letter and see the cautions that I'm recommending so that we can train up a generation who knows how to stand up for their beliefs, who knows how to proudly say, this is my belief, and I don't cross this. You know, Jewish and Muslim kids know to say, hey, I don't eat pork. We need to say, hey, you don't mark my hand or my forehead.
Good point. Frank is in Oroville, California now. Frank, let's get you in here. Go ahead.
All right. Got in. Thank you very much.
Not much time for you, but we got you in. Go ahead.
Hey, great program. And Catherine, I just want to say I concur with where you're coming from. I have a number of things I wanted to say, but I wanted to back up a couple callers where he was talking about specifically that all through history and, you know, we've been saying this, the church has said this, people have tried to calculate Ronald Reagan. Never before have so many...
Oh, you there?
Uh-oh, we lost him. Oops.
Yeah, he is gone. Still there, Frank? Nope. He's gone. Oh, what a shame. The poor guy was waiting on hold.
He was on a roll. I know.
50 minutes. 50 minutes. Could you deduce what he wanted to say?
You know, I couldn't. I don't know.
He didn't go long enough.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Sorry. He'll be back again.
So, one more time. I feel so passionately about this message that even if all you do is sit down with your kids and you just have this conversation, if you want to buy the book, that's great. That'll help fund my missionary efforts. I've been distributing this book in other countries, by the way. 3,700 copies to the Caribbean nation of Anguilla. We gave one to every single kid in the country earlier this
that's
month.
Amazing.
Yeah, along with Bibles. So we did a week-long celebration of Anguillian Christian heritage. It's a wonderful place for a vacation, beautiful Christian island. It's called Anguilla. It's right off the coast of St. Martin, and we distributed 3,700 books. We gave them away for free. So I really have a passion for people passing on this information. And parents and grandparents out there, if you want to get it for a Christmas present, it'll be a lasting heirloom. It'll create a memory just like it did for me. If you can't afford to do that, if you don't want to buy a book, just sit down and have the conversation with your kids. Just do what my grandmother did and pass this information along, because we've got a cultural knowledge that we're failing to pass on to the younger generation. And even if they say, oh, grandma, I don't, you know, whatever, the reality is if you don't do it, they won't have it in their heads. If you do it, they'll be able to remember at some future point when they need to, hey, wait a minute, this sounds like that wacky thing my grandma was saying. I'm of course, referring to teenagers here. Younger kids, they're tender and they're open to the truths of the Spirit.
Well, that's the key to the whole thing. Catherine, thanks so much for being on the program. Catherine Albrecht, of course, her websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, The Ghost in the Coal Cellar, True Case Files from a Lone Investigator.